Weather outlook for central Illinois from the National Weather Service office in Lincoln. A strong storm system will bring a much better chance for thunderstorms by Sunday night. There is a moderate risk that some of the storms that develop and move into central Illinois could be severe. High temperatures today will range from the low 50s across southern Michigan to the low 80s across far southern sections of the region. Lows tonight will range from the low 40s across southern Michigan to the mid 60s across southeastern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high of 65 and a north wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 50. The wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny and warm with a high of 83 and a south wind at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, warm and breezy. The low will be in the low 60s. The wind out of the south from 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Sunday, partly sunny and windy with a high in the low 80s and a southwest wind from 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35. Sunday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely. The low in the upper 50s. Monday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a near steady temperature around 60. And the outlook for Monday night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid 40s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 40s to the upper 70s. It was cloudy in most northern and central locations, partly to mostly sunny in southern sections. Rockford reported drizzle at the top of the hour, 48 degrees. Also drizzle at O'Hare, where it was 42. Partly sunny at Bloomington, 53. Mostly sunny at Mattoon, 69. Carbondale reported mostly sunny conditions and 77 degrees. Drizzle was reported at South Bend, the temperature there 47. Lafayette, partly sunny 53. Indianapolis, cloudy and 66. Terre Haute, mostly sunny and 70. Willard Airport reported some haze and a partly sunny sky at the top of the hour, the temperature 56. The dew point 51. The relative humidity 84%. The barometric pressure 29.89. and rising. And at 12:39, 57 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois.
WILL is your source for full-service news and information. We've aired NPR's award-winning news programs for the past 40 years and provided our own local and regional news coverage. We're also proud to have aired Focus, our locally hosted talk show, for the past 30 years. Our spring pledge drive begins Saturday. We're encouraging listeners who are committed to this type of service to call in their pledge of financial support or give online now at willpledge.org.
Digital technology and video games are influencing kids' lives, and some people believe they could play a bigger role in education. Linda Lutton reports that Chicago is getting a new school that some believe might be a window into the future of learning.
We think it's important that in this society that endorses choice, these expectant mothers have another choice, to see their baby before they go through with this life-changing decision. We think it will result in fewer.
And our apologies, that is not Linda Lutton, and that's not the story we were planning to bring you this afternoon. So let's go ahead and move on to another story. Millions of Americans are looking for work, but many employers say it is hard to find good employees. Many companies and organizations are encouraging employees to be on the lookout for talent, and they're offering cash bonuses for referrals that lead to a hire. NPR's Wendy Kaufman has more.
You'll find employee referral programs in all kinds of industries, from technology to finance, manufacturing to healthcare.
We've had great success with it.
Jennifer Richards heads up human resources at the Virginia Mason Medical Center, one of Seattle's major healthcare providers.
In the last 2 years, we've brought in quite a few staff members, particularly nurses, medical assistants, patient care techs, as well as some other non-clinical positions, IS, management, and so on.
So you've checked in today. Everything going all right? Just checking in to see if you need anything. Okay.
Purva Virgenkar is a recent hire. A few months ago, she contacted a fellow University of Michigan alum who works at the medical center.
It was a very generic email saying, hi, I'd like to just speak with you if you have some time. And
Virgenkar wasn't really looking for a job, just information when she emailed Jolyn Succo, who oversees some performance improvement programs here. The two women didn't know each other, but Suko says they hit it off instantly.
We probably talked a good hour. And quite frankly, she just asked wonderful questions of me, and I appreciated that she wanted to know about the organization and the culture because, you know, every organization has a different culture, and not every culture is for everybody.
And Suko says the longer they chatted, the more she thought,
this is somebody that we should really look at and talk to more.
So she referred Virgin Car to the hiring managers. Her motivation, she says, wasn't money. In fact, she'd forgotten about her employer's referral bonuses, which range from $700 to $2,000. Rather, Suko had a feeling, reinforced by a phone call to someone they had both worked with, that this was someone who would be an asset to the organization. Mary Prunke is a nurse and a recruiting supervisor here.
I think one of the things that we get by bringing on board somebody that's known by one of our staff members is we've already begun to establish an element of trust.
Employers feel like they know more about the person they're about to hire, and new employees who've been referred likely feel more comfortable too. When Porva Virgin Car came on board, for example, she felt like she already had an ally.
The very first day when I was taught to log how to log into my email, I already had an email from Jolynn saying, welcome, we're so happy that you're here, and let me know how I can help you in any way, and let's get coffee.
It's no secret that when new employees feel connected to an organization, they often perform better. And the employee who made the referral feels good too, because someone valued their opinion. Many of America's largest employers have referral programs. John Sullivan, a management professor at San Francisco State University, puts the figure at about 85% of Fortune 100 companies.
If your company's not doing a lot of hiring, it's critical that you get the right people for those few positions, and employee referrals just turns out to be the best method to do that.
Some observers worry that relying on employees to find talent can lead to a lack of diversity in the workplace. But Sullivan suggests a well-conceived recruiting program can avert that. Evidence suggests that referred employees often perform at very high levels, but there's yet another reason employers like these programs. They're cost-effective. The initial recruiting costs are lower, and because referred employees tend to stay longer, employers save money on future recruiting efforts. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.
Consumers spent more on retail goods in the first quarter of 2011 than they did during the same time last year. That's despite higher gas prices, bad weather, and a late Easter holiday. Luxury retailers were the winners. NPR's Sonari Glinton has that story.
I'm wearing a new pair of jeans. They're hot. It took me a long time to find them. I'm not the only one.
What the recession did was create the consumer to now be more selective with where they're going to shop.
Marshall Cohen is a retail analyst. He says consumers have suffered from what he calls frugal fatigue.
We're tired of being so frugal that we're only spending at the least expensive place.
A bunch of retailers released their first quarter numbers this week. High-end fancy stores like Saks Fifth Avenue, Bergdorf Goodman, Neiman Marcus, and Nordstrom all made money. But The Gap, which owns The Gap, Old Navy, and Banana Republic, was down 10%. Marshall Cohen says people are getting pickier about where they spend their money.
I call it distinctive conformity. The consumer today is very focused on buying product that does not make them one of a million, but rather one in a million.
Cohen says a customer might buy one pair of fancy jeans that no one else has and then go out and buy underwear, socks, shirts, stuff no one can see from a discount retailer. Come on, who would do that? Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
Digital technology and video games are influencing kids' lives, and some people believe they could play a bigger role in education. Linda Lutton reports that Chicago is getting a new school that some believe might be a window into the future of learning.
Elizabeth Purvis is head of Chicago International Charter Schools, and she really does not want me to call her newest school the video game school.
In fact, I worry when people think it's a video game school, because it isn't. It's a project-based learning school that uses digital learning, literally, to hook the kids.
I really want to be in that video game school.
Yep, he's hooked. 17-year-old Nikkei Farron was at an event last week put on by the Chicago-based MacArthur Foundation to showcase its digital learning initiatives. Farron stood near a video game console he helped design in a MacArthur-funded after-school program. nearby. 16-year-old Andrei Zipkowski is also psyched about the new Chicago Quest School, which is opening on the north side to 6th and 7th graders in the fall and will eventually go through 12th grade.
Any other school would be the exact opposite of what you're doing. You know, playing games in a school is, you know, creating games in school. What are you doing? You know, get to work. And I think it's really cool that, you know, they're saying, whatever, we're going to follow the curriculum, but do it our own way.
The idea of the new school is not to get kids to play commercial video games. But if you think of a video game as another world with rules and problems to solve, codes to crack, levels to attain, the idea here is to make school like that. It's giving kids immersive, game-like experiences. So instead of learning about history, they become a historian or a scientist trying to solve real problems.
All right, so we're going to be learning about work and force and distance by having an embodied experience around that.
At the showcase last week, a large floor mat was transformed into a kind of giant computer screen. Two players used wands, sort of like a Wii, to help ogre-like troggles push a hat up a hill.
So what you're learning about here is the fact that the angle of your motion matters. The fact that you're pushing in this with the same alignment means that you can move up the space. Nice. And then as it moves up the hill, you get a sense physically of how much work is involved to do that. Good job.
There are different hills with different inclines. Eventually, kids are shown a giant physics equation describing what they just experienced. The MacArthur Foundation has put $85 million into its digital learning initiative. The foundation paid for this technology, which is only in 3 schools nationwide. It's also giving $1 million to Chicago Quest. It supports a similar school in New York City.
If Henry Ford came back, the one thing he'd recognize is our school system.
Connie Yowell is education director with MacArthur.
With the advent of digital media, just as our many businesses have changed, newspapers have changed, we think it's time for learning to change dramatically. And we think that rather than making schools more efficient, this is actually a time to completely reimagine and radically transform what learning looks like for young people and understand that learning is 24/7. And happens both inside and outside of schools.
Many say literacy itself is shifting and now includes things like multimedia presentations and podcasts, being able to audio chat with someone in Spain to improve your Spanish. Chicagoan Ebony Coward signed her 12-year-old up as soon as she heard about Chicago Quest.
This is more interactive. He cannot sit still all day. A lot of boys can't. They just really can't. He values the time that he gets to interact with other students, which is very little, unfortunately, at the school that he's at. You know, he wants to talk to the person next to them. He wants to work with them.
Elizabeth Purvis, head of the charter network that will operate Quest, says she's hiring teachers who want